back to The Mentors.
This is Vadim.
And Sergey.
And this is a show where we tell stories of ordinary people that became extraordinary entrepreneurs despite lack of experience, money, or connections. And this is also a show where we tell you, hopefully, things that are valuable to you and your business and your life and give some general advice. And today's topic is how everything is negotiable. Well, not everything. I mean, please stop. Don't try to negotiate your bill with electric. Actually, that is negotiable. Don't try to negotiate your McDonald's order. Don't even eat McDonald's. It's not very healthy for you. But
not worth it negotiating that one.
No, it really isn't.
The only one you're cheating is yourself.
Well, that's true. Jesus. Yes. Try to stay healthy.
We even had McDonald's just yesterday.
not yesterday. 2 days ago, I did break. You know, I've been trying to eat healthy. January was, like many, I had a New Year's resolution to be healthier, and I was eating very healthy. And then, I don't know, there was a breakdown this week where my body said, I hate you for this. And I, you know, satisfied it through terribly greasy food. So I did break this week and had McDonald's, but that's not what this episode is about. This episode is about why we think everything or almost everything is negotiable, and the reason why we're calling it how everything is negotiable is because a lot more things are negotiable than we think.
We actually have had several instances just in the last few months where we've been able to negotiate something even when it seemed like that thing was not negotiable. And people would tell us that it's not negotiable. So just through first-person experience alone, we can say that everything is pretty much negotiable, and that's why we want to talk to you about some of those stories today.
Part of the reason why we were motivated to do this topic this week is because as recently as Friday, so we're recording right now on a Sunday eve, 4:23 in the afternoon, and this story that we're going to start with happened to me on Friday at about 1:23 in the afternoon. So this story is about how I negotiated a medical bill. What happened is I got a phone call from a doctor that I actually hadn't seen in about, I want to say 10 months. It's been almost a year since I've been to that doctor. My insurance changed, and part of the beauty of the healthcare system in the US is not every doctor takes your new insurance, and so sometimes you have to change doctors. And that's what happened. And so I hadn't talked to this doctor or seen him in about 10 months, and I got a missed call from the office a few days before that, and I kind of ignored it. I thought, oh, they might want me to come in for my yearly checkup, but you know what? He's not my physician anymore, so I'm not going to go there. But then on Friday, they left me a voicemail. Vadim, can you please give us a call back? I'm like, oh, geez, well, what the hell is this about? I mean, if it's a health issue or something, I should probably follow up with them just in case. And so I called them, and they said, hi, this is about a visit that you made in late May, and we just wanted to tell you that your claim has been rejected by the insurance company, and you're responsible for paying it. I was like, obviously taken aback immediately, and so I jumped into questioning. And me and Sergey talk a lot about how when we feel that there's injustice, we push hard, and sort of nothing will stop us from trying to figure out and get to the bottom of an issue. And here, clearly, I felt that there was some injustice. So what ended up happening was I confirmed with them, and I said, well, when I came in, you guys checked if I had insurance, right? I remember paying the copay. They said, yes, we did. And you did have insurance at the time. I said, okay, what's the problem? And they said, well, what happened was your previous employer, because my job situation changed at that time, ended up retroactively removing that insurance. So just, it happened to fall in the 2 weeks that I went to the doctor, and it turned out that the employer basically went back and said, oh, you know what, those 2 weeks, we decided we're not going to cover them, even though they were supposed to cover for that whole month. Well, what I kept on pushing on was, okay, but I did my part, which is confirm that I have insurance. This sounds like something you need to work out with an insurance company. And they said, well, the reason why we haven't called you about this is because we've been trying to work it out. And ultimately what ended up happening was the conversation got really heated because the woman that was talking to me just started getting a little bit impatient, right? And she's like, look, you have to pay this. And I said, no, I don't have to pay this.
And how much was the bill for?
Well, so I'm going to get there. What ended up happening was my argument was, look, this is a year later almost, and you're trying to hound me for this money now? This doesn't sound like it's my responsibility. You either need to work it out with the insurance company or you need to work it out with the employer. And they said, no, that's your responsibility. And so we got heated into a heated argument, and the woman ended up passing me off to somebody else in the office. And so I started talking to her, and look, I will say she got heated and I got heated. And like I said, emotions sometimes run high. And that probably didn't necessarily help me in the beginning, but I'll tell you why it ended up kind of helping me later on. I'm not recommending that you overreact by any means. Try to keep composure. But in this case, she overreacted and I kind of mirrored her. And so I ended up talking to somebody else. And the other woman was just much, much sweeter, had better composure, had better bedside manner, if you will. And she said, if you want, I can have the doctor call you in the evening, and because we're sorry about how basically the other woman talked to you. And I said, no, that's not a problem. Let's just work this out. And that's when I said, how much is the bill? And she's like, oh, it's $470. I'm like, what? Can you check what I came in for? And it turned out that I literally came in for a sore throat. And I said, I remember that day. I was there for about 15 minutes. Can you please tell me exactly what you're charging, $470 or $450, whatever it was, for a sore throat? And they're like, well, let us check. And basically, she came back and she said, yeah, you know what? And I could hear in the background, the other woman was saying, okay, we can give him a discount. And I'm like, all right, well, she didn't know this, but now I got the hint that this is clearly something that wasn't like set in stone. And I said, well, how was this put in at $400? She's like, well, it depends on the code that the doctor puts in. And right away, I was like, all right, we'll go back and change the code, right? That's what I thought to myself. I didn't say it that way. But what ended up happening was, it turned out that the woman that I had spoke to originally was actually a woman that I knew pretty well, because I would see her in the office all the time. She would always joke around with me. And so I asked to get put back on the phone with her, because I decided, well, let's negotiate with the person that's actually the decision maker. And she's like, do you remember me? And she said her name. And I said, oh my God, of course I remember you. How have you been? And I basically said, look, I'm sorry there was some overreaction, but I love you. And, you know, I started being really nice to her, maybe even overly nice. And she's like, started laughing and all that. And I'm like, look, what can be done here? Because now we kind of established a common ground. And more importantly, now I knew, because I heard her talking in the background, that it was negotiable. She's like, okay, well, let me see what I can get it down to. And she came up with a number of $170. So right away, this already went from about $470 to $170 because of some kind of discount she was able to put into the system. And then I said, look, I appreciate it, but I remember that day. I was basically there for nothing. What about the copay? She's like, oh, okay, true. All right, well, yeah, you did pay $30 copay, so minus the copay, that's $140. I said, look, it seems like we could be going down. Why don't we just call it $50 and forget about this, because I really appreciate the doctor. As soon as I get the right insurance, I'm going to come back to you. And I kind of played the card of loyal customer. And she said, okay, the best I can do is $70. And I was like, all right, here's my credit card number. Let's just put this behind us. So long story short, I ended up staying on the call with her. Well, it was actually a pretty long story, but I ended up staying on the call with her for half hour. But a few things happened there. First of all, relationships matter. And I ended up getting on her good side because we kind of reminisced about how I used to come into the office and, you know, she likes me and I like her, blah, blah, blah. But second of all, you always have to be willing to continue the conversation. I could have given up, could have just agreed to the $400. I could have given up at the $170. I could have given up at the $140. Ultimately, I just kept on moving it forward and moving the ball as basically low as I could, because I realized, clearly, this is now negotiable.
Well, that, and you also created points of leverage for yourself several times throughout the conversation. The first way you did it is by talking about the fact that you remember that day, and it was really a 15-minute appointment for nothing. So what are you really paying for? Make the other side justify why they're charging what they're charging. So the point is, you kept on pushing by finding leverage for yourself to justify having a lower amount. And I think that's a really important thing to have in a negotiation. Sometimes you have to make it up a little bit and embellish. This was an appointment that was almost a year ago. No one remembers what actually happened. They probably don't have good notes about what actually happened, but the likelihood is that it was a very short appointment and it wasn't worth the $400.
Yeah, and I could sense also in the conversation that they just wanted to put this matter behind them, and I used that to my advantage as well, because I gave them a solution and I said, look, I understand I need to pay out of pocket at this point. Let's put this behind us, but also let's agree on something that works for both of us. And once I knew that information, that they just wanted to put this behind them, that they wanted to deal with the situation because they have a ton of other stuff to worry about, I also use that to my advantage. So as you're having these conversations, as you're learning more and uncovering the true intentions of somebody and what they really need, that helps you adjust your negotiating position and helps you understand what you should actually focus on in the conversation.
And it's not natural for most people to push in the way that Vadim did, but the more you do it, the better you get at it. And as you can tell, with every question that he posed or pushback that he posed, he bought himself more time to think of a different way to position the conversation to end up winning that negotiation. And that's exactly what happened. This brings me to my next story about a successful negotiation with something that seemed non-negotiable. And this is a software that I was looking to buy for the venture job that I have at NYU. This is a piece of software. It's kind of like a CRM software. I won't say exactly who the vendor is, but we wanted to use this piece of technology to help track our investment opportunities. And when I was talking to the salesperson, I basically had a call with him and I let him demo me the product, even though I usually don't like to sit in on demos. But I let him do it just so he could show me all the features and everything like that. And I knew that as a salesperson, he would try to convert me during that call and see, really get a commitment whether we would become a customer. And that's exactly what he did. By the end of the call, he said, how likely are you to recommend this to the organization and actually purchase this software technology product? And I said to him, I'm really interested in the product. It looks like you guys are doing something great. And they're actually a startup. So that was a little bit of a leverage point that I had. I'm like, you know, I understand you guys are a startup and you're probably going to be making the product even better. But here are a couple of features that we wish it had. But you know what? It's valuable enough that I can push it to my organization, push it to my boss to approve. But I got to tell you, we're a nonprofit and we can't pay the full price. And actually, what I asked them before that is how much it was. And I think it was something like $130 per user per month. And, you know, the way I phrased it is I said, do you have a nonprofit discount? And what he said was, well, we've never actually had a nonprofit client. I'm like, oh, great. So this is a good opportunity for you guys to create a nonprofit discount program. And I knew that that was probably not going to be enough to convince him to give us the discount. But it is something that I said, can you see what you can do? Talk to your boss and see if you can offer us a nonprofit discount. And I actually added a sweetener as well. I said, we know a lot of universities with venture funds and we'll refer you to all of them. If we like the product, we'll refer you to a bunch of them and you'll get even more customers. So it'll be well worth it. And guess what? He came back to me and he offered a 40% discount. He talked to his boss and it was a 40% discount right away from the original cost. I think we were going to pay like $80 per user per month instead of $130 or $140, which is much more attractive for us and something that we could actually potentially afford. But I didn't end it right there. We wanted a certain amount of licenses, but we wanted to pay for fewer licenses because we knew that not everybody in our organization was going to be using that product. So when it came to the final negotiation of actually giving them the money, paying with a credit card, I asked if we could have more licenses, but we didn't actually need all of them because some people would only log into the tool like once a month. And I used that as leverage by saying that we need them to, for it to be useful for us. We need those people to have access to have the license, but they don't need the full license. Do you have a partial license? And his answer was no, but he threw in a couple of free licenses because he knew that we needed it and he knew that the people weren't going to be actually using them to the full extent. And so that was another way I got a steeper discount by actually pushing on something else.
Well, also at this point, think about it. He committed a bunch of time with you through a demo, multiple conversations, ultimately buy-in. He made promises to his boss, hey, we're about to close an account with a new nonprofit and we're going to have NYU as a name that we can reference as well. There was a lot of commitment there. So asking for a little bit more right at the end was actually a great tactic because there's a relatively low chance that he was going to say no at this point and just let the whole deal blow up.
Yes, you're absolutely right. It was a lot of sunk cost for him for trying to get this deal. We are a great referral customer. We're a major university that they can use now to close other universities. And I knew that. And I used that as a negotiating tactic. But guess what? It's not just BS, actually. My boss did end up making, I think, like half a dozen introductions to him to other universities that could potentially use that product. So for them, it was actually a win as well. And I think that's a major lesson here for negotiations. If you can manufacture or create a win-win opportunity for the people that you're negotiating against, such as potential for more revenue for this company that was trying to sell their product to us, then we win by getting a cheaper product and they win by having potential upside in revenue. And that's always going to help you close a negotiation in your favor much faster than otherwise.
But this is also a great example of why relationships matter and are important to consider when you're negotiating. You might be negotiating about something right now, but it's usually not transactional where you'll never see this person again. And you need to think about what are the ramifications that will come from this and what could potentially, what benefits can come from it as well. So in this case, you guys are going to be providing a lot more referral customers to them. And so this relationship is really important. I'm sure if there's technical issues as well, you're actually having a symbiotic relationship and working through with them consistently again, so that there's an opportunity for them to prove how good they are again, so you can talk about them to other potential customers. Same with the medical bill discussion that I had earlier. I do really like that doctor. And if they just ruin my relationship with them because of this one silly misunderstanding, it wouldn't be worth it for them to really just screw me over, let's say $400 in that scenario. And so relationships do matter. Think about how it's going to affect you in the future too, because that should also affect how you go about the negotiation.
Speaking of relationships, this last story is about how my former boss was able to negotiate for all of his employees to get signing bonuses at the company that bought us, that acquired us. And it was thousands of dollars. I think my bonus was $10,000, if not more. So it was substantial for me at the time. And this is a small startup that we were working for. We were a 10-person shop. I was helping run sales for that company. And we ended up getting by another bigger company for basically, I think it was about $15 million our company had raised. We were bought for our assets, but also for the team, the employees, and all 10 people were going to get jobs at this company and get cash signing bonuses as an incentive to stay. Well, we got bought and we got jobs, so that's nice, but months start passing by and nobody's getting their cash bonuses. None of us were getting cash bonuses, and they were saying things like, well, you need to work here for a couple of months, or we'll pay you next month, or whatever it was, whatever excuse it was to get basically get us paid.
Now, these were actually allocated as sign-on bonuses, right? So technically, there was shouldn't have been any other stipulations in receiving them, correct?
Yes, exactly. But as employees, we had very little leverage, and the company was trying to raise money at the time, so I get why my boss at that point in time was not pushing for us to get our bonuses immediately. Right?
Also, it was a relatively new relationship. Probably he hadn't really been there long enough to be comfortable to push right away, I would imagine.
Yeah, that's exactly right. But what happened basically 6 months after we were bought was not foreseen by anybody. This company was trying to raise money, much more money than they raised before. They doubled headcount, so they bought our company, and then they went from 90 employees, they hired 90 more, so they basically doubled.
Wow.
And so they were basically burning through money at this point with this idea that they're going to raise a bunch of money. Well, months passed on, and they weren't getting any commitments for investment. And come...
Whoops.
Yep, a whoops-a-day is that. So they bought us in June. And this is October now, and we all go into all-hands meeting, basically. And in this meeting, the CEO of the company that bought us said that by the end of the week, most of us would not have jobs. They ran out of money, basically. And so they were laying off 90% of the workforce. What ended up happening over the next couple of weeks is actually they laid off everybody, and they sold off the assets of that company for fractions, for a fraction of the dollar, less than what they bought us for.
Wait, so how then did you actually get the bonuses? It sounds like this thing evaporated into thin air.
Yeah, so I didn't actually expect at that point to get my signing bonus, but my boss did something that I was really proud of and thankful for, and I still am super thankful to this day because it put me on another trajectory. And what happened was he went to the founders of that company once they announced the shutdown, and he said, look, you have a bunch of debt on your books right now. You have to figure out how to pay that debt. One of the pieces of debt that you have is this signing bonus that you promised to my employees. Now, this is a much smaller percentage of the rest of your debt. So you should just pay it as a way to maintain the relationship with these employees. You know, there's actually a lot of bad press happening at the time right now of this company because things were starting to leak from employees about the fact that it was shutting down and there were mass layoffs, and they didn't want bad PR anymore either. So for them, I think this negotiation, or essentially he was just asking for something. He could have not said anything, but the way he positioned it, it made sense to the founders, and we all did end up getting our signing bonuses, and it salvaged our relationship with them. It salvaged their relationship with our boss, and nobody leaked bad press at that point because we felt taken care of.
Leakage avoided.
Leakage avoided.
Leakage controlled.
So I'm very thankful because, you know, that signing bonus actually bought me time to work on different business ideas and do some consulting on the side that was actually led to my next startup job and then led to me starting my own company. So if not for that signing bonus, things might have gone a little bit differently. I might have been forced to take a job that I didn't want and, you know, not explore different business opportunities at the time. So I'm very thankful for the fact that my boss was willing to step it up and willing to ask for something that he knew rightfully belonged to his employees.
The reason why we decided to share these stories with you today is the same reason why I tell stories like this to the students that I work with and the entrepreneurs that I advise and even my friends over beers. You know, a lot of times in life, we think that things are set in stone, that there are rules to everything, that, you know, we have to do things a certain way. And simply that is not usually the case. This is life. And we all kind of make up the rules as we're going along. And we all agree to certain constructs. But at the end of the day, these are somewhat moldable by us as well. And so hopefully this gives you a little bit of awareness so that when you're in a situation where maybe before you might have thought, I shouldn't ask for more, or they're going to say no, or but this is the rules. Maybe we've given you and planted a seed that will motivate you to push a little bit next time and actually get the desired outcome that you're looking for.
And I think a big takeaway here as well is that ultimately, all of these decisions that seem to be set in stone, and clearly most of them are not, they are rules written by people, which means that they can be molded and changed, like Vadim said. If you can figure out how to leverage a human relationship and have a conversation with a person to get them on your side, you can pretty much negotiate anything.
So do cultivate these relationships, go into these conversations, understanding that you need to learn about the other side in order to see how the conversation can progress. Do understand that ultimately it does come down to whoever has the most leverage in any given situations, but that leverage can change not only throughout any one conversation, but especially if it's a more longer term and ongoing negotiation, like the example Sergey gave with the software licenses as well. And this can be applied and hopefully will be applied not only to your businesses, but your lives and your careers as well, because we do truly think that almost anything is negotiable. So why not just give it a try and try to negotiate it? Negotiate. Maybe the next song we're going to do is about negotiation. By the way, if you haven't heard our hit new cover, Folks Like You, we recently released a video.
It's on our Facebook page. It's on LinkedIn. Check it out. It's on YouTube as well, actually. MNT.RS is our channel, Mentors. So check it out. It's a parody about how to get important people to respond to your emails. And if you're listening to the show for the first time, first of all, thank you. God, thank you so much for taking this 23 minutes or so to listen to this episode.
I'm constantly amazed when we look at our stats and we see that people, you know, will listen through 95 or 99% of an episode. I'm like, wow.
Thank you for listening.
You like us.
We love you. And actually, if you could hit subscribe on your app of choice so that you get notifications when we launch a new episode, it would be awesome because we want to stay in touch with you. And also, it helps us be found, discovered by other people when you subscribe as well. It's just an iTunes algorithm thing. Don't worry about it.
But also, if you do have iTunes and you enjoyed this episode or any of our other episodes, first of all, we encourage you to scroll through and go back to the backlog. We try to create evergreen content so that it's relevant forever, or at least for the next decade. But also, please give us that 5-star rating on iTunes. It just takes one click of a button, but gives us a lot more awareness around the show and shares it with other people. Hopefully this is valuable to you. Please feel free to reach out to us. Vadim@thementors.co, Sergey@thementors.co. This is The Mentors signing off. Have a wonderful week. Goodbye.